This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
To catch up with our man Will Hill, of course, host of the Shoulda Bet More podcast, and jumps around doing a great job on the network VSiN Primetime. Also over the weekend, the VSiN Morning Line with John Yastrzemski too. If you've not caught that dynamic duo here on Sundays, please do so, especially as we get our legs into football shape in the coming month or so. We are almost to the finish line of the first half of Major League Baseball's regular season. That's where we start today's edition of the Daily Diamond. It's still the best All-Star game, period, and I'm not being biased here, Mark. It is the one that is really the only competitive version of where we honor the best and brightest of the first half in our respective sports here. Did get the announcement of the starters and the reserves over the weekend. No shock here that we have the Braves, the Dodgers, and the Phillies leading the way. Five players each will represent those squads in the Midsummer Classic. That is tied for the most selections of any club here in 2026. Also, no shock here, Shohei Ohtani, now a six-time All-Star, top overall vote-getter for the first time in his career, but was only elected as a designated hitter, even after the sensational start to his season on the mound, kind of a unique spot. But I'm sure the Dodger brass is completely fine with him not having to throw any extra pitches there in Philadelphia. We just talked some Junior Caminero with Will Hill, 11 homers in his last 12 games, already committed to the Home Run Derby. He is going to be the first Tampa Bay Rays player in franchise history to start two All-Star games. And speaking of starters, we have got upwards of 26 first-time All-Stars on this roster. Shea Langeliers, Ernie Clement, a couple of the first-timers on there on the American League side. Drake Baldwin is in there, as well as the backstop for the Atlanta Braves. Brandon Marsh getting the start for the first time in his career as a starter there for the senior circuit side. So just a really cool thing every time we get to hear it. And more importantly, Mark, I very much love that the players, when you're elected by your peers, it just means that much more of the respect of what you've accomplished to that point. And then I think of John Schneider and Dave Roberts, who will manage the American League and National League respectively. This is the easiest lineup card they'll fill out every single year. It's just a matter of getting an idea of who the starters are going to be, trying to make this, I guess it is an entertainment show, maybe getting some of the big bats against the power pitchers early in the ball game. But I think we're in for another dandy in Philadelphia, as Citizens Bank Park will be the host of the Midsummer Classic this year.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, I think at the start of it, you know, it's the best version of an All-Star game that we get. It's a celebration of the sport. Guys actually care a little bit. I understand there's restrictions in today's day and age, but, you know, you'll see in the stars on display. And, you know, Jensen, you can speak to that fact as being a former player where, you know, when you are elected by your peers, it means something that much greater than anything else, right? So the respect that you have around the game. I love the All-Star game, even though it was different 20, 30 years ago, Jensen, because, you know, baseball didn't have the same amount of coverage that it does now. So you didn't get to see every single player every single night. Now you get everything all the time, right? So, but it's awesome, you know, and I think the thing that makes it special is I think baseball puts it in the right perspective. We're here to celebrate a great sport and put our stars on display. And that is exactly what they go out there and do. And I think if you're a big time baseball fan, you look for a little bit of a kind of a take a deep breath to a long MLB season, and you get to watch the fun and the festivities, the red carpet, the Home Run Derby, you get the futures game, and then obviously you get the Midsummer Classic.
We'll also have the draft over the weekend, too. Yeah. So the amateur player draft. So a good time for Major League Baseball as we will head into a very celebratory week next week. First things first, we have the final week of the regular season in the first half beginning today. And we do have one day game. It is the Phillies and the Royals finishing up that weird series because of the off day in between with the World Cup match there at Arrowhead. So Sanchez and Cameron will be the matchup here. Will Hill talking about liking that first five under 4.5. As I look at some of the metrics here, it has been a really tough year, not only for the Kansas City Royals, but for their pitching in general. Two leans for me in this game. Nothing official yet. I do want to see where lineups are before we lock in a potential play. I would look at the under. If you can find an 8.5, I know there's some eights out there. Circa has it at -$1.05 to the under. I would love a little half run cushion there if I could get it. But I would also look at the Phillies potentially on the run line here. Shop around for your best price, -$1.20 at Circa. But I think the Phillies continue their hot hitting ways and take advantage of a beleaguered Kansas City Royals pitching staff. Of course, the marquee series of this week, at least starting tonight, will be the battle for first place in the American League East. It is the Yankees headed to Tropicana Field to take on the Rays. Moose, I know you got a little look at this matchup, and hey, the Rays haven't lost a home game yet this year against an American League East opponent. Does that streak continue tonight in your eyes?
I think it does. Yeah. I mean, and you know, I'm going to take off the Yankee underwear and put down the Kool-Aid here. The Yankees aren't a particularly good baseball team. And, you know, Schlittler's been really good. His ERA has ballooned. At one point in time, it was down to 1.61. It's now up to 2.08. Last start was not particularly good. Gave up three home runs in the top half of the first inning at home. The start previous to that up at Fenway Park, he was done in by the Yankee defense, which was terrible behind him. And listen, I think he'll, you know, learn. I think last start, he was trying to work in more of the off-speed pitches. I think he'll go back to the bread and butter tonight down in Tampa, which is going to be the velocity, throwing high in the strike zone, being competitive in that strike zone, challenging hitters. I just don't know exactly what you're going to get offensively from the Yankees. And the vibe right now is probably next to nothing. I mean, and that's the issue that you have when you look at this lineup. And confidence is king, and hitters can build off one another. And I think you're looking at a lot of guys in that lineup right now, Jensen, that are pressing a little bit, right? A little bit of an injury scare when you're looking at Jazz Chisholm. Rice has cooled off. Goldschmidt has cooled off. They get little to no production from behind home plate with whoever is catching. Ryan McMahon. I'm going to lean on the team that's playing the better baseball right now. They've been fantastic at home. We talked about it earlier in the show, 31-12 when you look at the Tampa Bay Rays. A pitching matchup that you would think favors the Yankees tonight. And I think Schlittler will be better tonight. I think he'll probably be really, really good. I just don't really trust the Yankees to generate much offense. Therefore, I'm going to take the Tampa Bay Rays tonight and lay the 113.
All right. I like that angle. I'm interested to see kind of where the bounce back potentially could be for Aaron Boone's group. You have your ace on the hill, but as you said, it's been sputtering here as of late for Cam Schlittler. Can the Yankees finally start to turn things around? They need some momentum headed into the finish of the first half. Momentum has clearly been on the side of the Houston Astros as of late, and they continue to kind of fight in a wide open American League West. They're in the nation's capital to take on maybe one of the great blind bets of the year. Mark, if I told you that the Washington Nationals are 17 games to the over as a home team, I don't even think I need to give you much more reasoning, let alone tell you who's on the hill today for either side. The Nats are 30-13-2. That's almost a 70% to the over, and they are covering the over by 2.5 runs on average. It is good hitting weather in Washington, D.C., and we got good hitting on the mound. Miles Michaelis will take the mound for the Nationals. The Astros will counter with Mike Burrows. And I'm actually thinking that the sneaky play here may be on the Astros money line. You're almost getting even money at DraftKings. You are getting +$1.06 for bettors at Circa. I just think this is a little more one-sided, at least in the matchup today. I would rather back the Astro offense against Miles Michaelis, knowing there's not a ton of swing and miss that Michaelis is going to generate. So that would be an avenue that I'd want to travel. Maybe want to wait and see what some lineups are just in case. But I would imagine it's the A side. And listen, hey, the Nats have had one of the great scoring offenses. They've not been able to prevent runs to save their life. So I think we're in for one of those scoring affairs here in the nation's capital. But more so, I do like the opportunity to back Houston on the money line later on tonight. Another team there that we're talking about in the National League East, the Atlanta Braves. Boy, they're going to try and salvage a series split against the New York Mets. That one later on at 7:15 p.m. Eastern time, Truist Park, going to host a pitching matchup between the beleaguered Freddie Peralta and the resurgent Reynaldo Lopez. Any spot that you like in this NL East matchup later tonight?
Yeah, I would take the Braves to bounce back with Lopez opening the game up for Atlanta. Peralta's not being particularly good. I mean, Freddie Peralta was brought in from Milwaukee. I think he's missing the beer and the cheese out there in Brewcrewland, right? And that starting rotation has not missed a beat, right? He's a guy that down in Port St. Lucie was asking for a 7 or 8 year contract extension. As he's due to be a free agent past this season. He doesn't go deep into games, really has been more missed than hit on the year. Braves coming off a strange, wild ninth inning yesterday in which they ended up falling to the New York Mets by a run. But, you know, they win later on tonight. They take 3 or 4 from the series. I'm going to lean on the Braves to bounce back and knock around Freddie Peralta because that's more so what we have seen from Freddie this year as a New York Met.
Totally agree. Good under spot for me tonight. Just a couple of trends standing out between the Diamondbacks and the Padres. Padres finally get off the schneid, beating the Dodgers yesterday. They go back home with Walker Buehler on the mound, who actually, outside of his last outing, has been really good. Brandon Pfaadt will get the ball for the Diamondbacks. You're looking at two of the best under teams in those situational spots. Arizona 22-18-2 to the under as an away team, and San Diego also advantageous in that spot as a home team. They are 24-19-1 to the under there. Never under when we have Zachary Cohen on the show. He joins us next. All things NBA and Wimbledon. What happened on the women's side? Zach tells us next on VSiN by the Books.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match it. Here's the thing. Pro bettors, they spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't know and don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you're going to get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and so much more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
What a 250th birthday celebration it was for these great United States over the weekend. We're still celebrating here at VSiN, but only through tomorrow, July 7th, can you still access arguably our best sale of the year. For just $299, you get 2 full years of VSiN Pro access. Again, that's nearly 70% off the regular monthly price. All of the betting guides, including our freshly released NFL season betting guide, the daily best bets, all the real-time betting splits. If you are a current VSiN Pro subscriber, we will add on those 2 years to your current expiration date. But you got to get it in. This 4th of July offer disappears after July 7th, which is tomorrow. VSiN.com/subscribe to now lock in those 2 years for just $299. Again, VSiN.com/subscribe. A man that has subscribed to everything and has the pulse not only here domestically with the NBA, but across the pond at Wimbledon. He is our senior editor at VSiN.com, as well as the host of the Hardwood Handicappers podcast. None other than the great Zachary Cohen joining us here on the Progressive Guest Line. ZC, great to be with you. I was excited to pick your brain about an upset for the ages yet again. Naomi Osaka pulls the rabbit out of the hat and takes down world number one. Are Aryna Sabalenka. The women's draw now feels incredibly wide open. Let me get your thoughts on what happened with the huge upset and then maybe where the rubble is now and some potential angles you might see on the women's side.
Yeah, so it was a disappointing result for Sabalenka, who just feels like she's been dominating women's tennis for so long and just doesn't have enough results to show for it. It feels like she should have 8 to 10 Grand Slams at this point in her career, but she doesn't. She just doesn't handle high-pressure moments very well, and this was another one where she was kind of punched in the mouth and really didn't have much of an answer. I mean, Osaka is much better than her ranking and her last couple of years suggest. She's a 4-time major winner herself, but this is now going to be a really interesting tournament, as you just said. I kind of think the winner is going to come from the top half of the draw. So you're looking at either Osaka or Mukova or, you know, Coco Gauff against Jessica Pegula. My pick before the tournament was Pegula at 16-1, hoping she's able to get to the semis and then advance to the final. But yeah, anything could really happen from here. This is one of those tournaments that you saw the draw, you saw some of the big names had tough matchups, and it looked like it could have come from like that second tier or that middle tier when you're looking for the winner.
Zach, before we get into plays today at the All England Club, for over to the men's side, how deep does championship title contention go? How many men do you think can win? And, you know, who would you favor if we end up getting Joker and Sinner in a semifinal?
I really think it's only three. Like, it's a really boring answer with the men. I think it's Sinner has a really good chance. I mean, that was such an obvious statement. Sinner has a great chance of winning this one. But I think if he were to face Djokovic, we're probably looking at like minus 300 to minus 400. I know that, you know, Djokovic is someone that has beaten him before. We just saw him win at the Australian Open. But, man, like what we have seen from Joker so far this tournament hasn't been all that impressive. And you could say the same about Sinner. But you look at their year form, like 2026 overall, and Sinner's just been so much better. So I think you're going to see Sinner as a major favorite against whoever he faces the rest of the way. But I wouldn't rule out Djokovic just because of how good of a server he is and how good he is at finding ways to win points on this surface. And I'd say at the bottom half of the draw, it's really Taylor, Fritz, or nothing. And Fritz is a shakier one than any of the others that I've mentioned so far. But Fritz is really good on grass. The only thing he has to overcome is just he hasn't done it before and he hasn't really won these major matches. Like, he can't beat Djokovic and he's had trouble beating Sinner. So if he does get to the final, he'd have to do something he hasn't really done before.
This is a great part about being a VSiN Pro subscriber. You get all these picks for our tennis handicappers and experts. And haters be damned, ZC, you have been cleaning up on those selections. It has been great to tail you. Anything still that has yet to get underway there across the pond that you like in today's matchups?
Yeah, the one play I have that has not started yet is Grigor Dimitrov -1.5 sets against Arthur Ferry. So Dimitrov would have to win in 4 or fewer sets, but I just feel like it's priced a little bit too close given what we know about Dimitrov and what we really don't know about Ferry. Dimitrov is an injury-prone player that has trouble kind of staying healthy at the later stages of these Grand Slams. But as of right now, he looks pretty good. And if he is healthy in this match, I really don't see any reason he's not going to win it somewhat comfortably. I mean, he just has so many advantages over Ferry. The only one that, you know, Ferry really has is he is a British player playing at the All England Club. He might have the crowd, but I wouldn't even say that's a guarantee because Dimitrov is a, you know, older, more established player. Usually these players get their respect in a crowd like this, but Dimitrov's a better server, has a bigger forehand, has a sliced backhand that is just so effective on these lower bouncing courts. I'd be surprised if he doesn't win somewhat easily.
Zach, how about tomorrow on the women's side? We're going to have Pegula and Gauff, Osaka and Muhova. Anything on either of those two matches?
So I really do like Pegula. I'm not going to add anything to it because I already do have the future, but I just feel like her game on grass is a little bit sturdier than Gauff's. I mean, Gauff is such a good athlete. She's so good at covering the court, but those are advantages that you usually see pay off on like slower bouncing surfaces, like a higher bouncing, you know, hard court or on clay. On these lower bouncing surfaces, you need to really have an ability to win points easily and just kind of end points with a forehand or a big serve. I feel like Pegula has more of those like quick strike weapons that you really need on the surface. And then the other match, it's kind of interesting. Mukova was beating her pretty badly a couple of weeks ago. Honestly, might have been like a week and a half ago at this point, but beating Osaka pretty badly. And Osaka had to retire after the first set in the final of one of their grass court matches. I feel like it's a really tough matchup for Osaka. So if I were taking anything, I'd go with Mukova. I haven't made it official yet, but I am looking into that one.
Zachary Cohen, of course, our great senior editor at VSiN.com, host of the Hardwood Handicappers podcast. Follow him at Betting on X, and also betting on where we're going to find LeBron James in his next uniform and next destination. I did happen to take a look over the weekend, and we have had some significant movement, particularly at some of the prediction markets, upwards of maybe 58, 60% that now he's coming home. Maybe for the final time to my neck of the woods, EC, here in Northeast Ohio. Is it Cavaliers as the favorite in your eyes now, or do we actually have some realistic expectation? It could be the 76ers or maybe even the Warriors still in the hunt.
I always thought it was going to be the Warriors after Draymond Green opted out of that contract. I feel like he wouldn't have opted out of money and left anything on the table if he didn't know something. But at the moment, like, you're right. Like, the prediction markets are going crazy. The next team odds are going crazy at traditional sports books. So I am starting to think that it's probably going to be Cleveland. And look, it makes the most sense for him to go back to Cleveland for a few reasons. Like, this is the only one that if he goes to it, people aren't going to ridicule him for making the same kind of move that Kevin Durant made after he left Oklahoma City, like jumping on a bandwagon team. I feel like going back to Cleveland satisfies both things, where you're going to a contending team, but you're also going to the best story for yourself. No one's going to rip him for playing his final season at home, but I do think that that is a team that offers him a really good chance of winning a title. I just feel like you look at what happened last year with the Cavaliers against the Knicks. They were in most of those games, or up in most of those games. They were not able to kind of satisfy the game management, you know, part of basketball. And when you have LeBron James on your team, it's a lot easier to do that. So I feel like he gets you over the hump in a way that no other free agent really does. Also, like, that's a team that was a little bit short on wing, like, athleticism and shot making. He kind of addresses their number one needs in a lot of different areas. So you replace Dean Wade from last year's team with LeBron James. I think all of a sudden you're talking about an Eastern Conference contender. So I do think that's the best move for him.
Curious, any other move? It's been a crazy offseason up until this point in time, Zach, in the NBA. Any other movement here that you think could potentially move the future markets odds board?
I guess the only one I'm still watching is like Rui Hachimura. That feels like the best free agent available outside of LeBron. I don't think we're going to get anything that's kind of like league shaking the rest of the way, unless you get like a Trey Murphy trade. And there are rumors that the Pelicans have lowered their asking price from 4 first round picks to 3. I think that a team would probably give them 3 if they were also getting Herb Jones. So that's kind of the only other one that I'd be watching, as far as like, maybe that takes a middle of the road contention team into like the top tier. Like, if you're Boston and now you have a surplus of picks and you just made that Paul George trade, do you then go out and make a move for Murphy and Jones? That's possibly the answer. But yeah, those two guys in a trade package are definitely appealing, and we don't really know what's going to happen with them.
All right, we saved the best for last. It's the most important handicap we get from you each week. Where are we on Love Island USA? And is it just ridiculousness on so many levels that it's getting out of hand right now?
I gave up on USA. I'm a little bit behind on UK right now. That's what me and my wife are watching at the moment. But that's where we have. We're watching Love Island UK, as we know, as I do Wimbledon. So I'm all British right now. I might not sound it, but I am pretty much British.
I don't blame you. We are all Team USA tonight, and that's on the pitch, not on the island, in the villa, where, again, if you're not caught up on it, it is absolutely ridiculous. Always great to catch up with you, my friend. We will do it again next week. Have a great week. We will talk to you then. That is Zachary Cohen, VSiN.com, senior editor and host of the Hardwood Handicappers podcast. Best bets. The Moose has got a couple of Major League Baseball plays he has in pocket. We'll wait for the horse selections later on this week. And some great emails from you, the viewers. Lots of love. We'll recap some of the best when you come back on VSiN by the Books.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
If you're betting at Circus Sportsbook, for a limited time, you can fund your wagers and contest entries with cryptocurrency using BurraPay and pay no BurraPay transaction fees. It's fast, secure, and another way Circa continues to innovate for sports bettors. Visit BurraPay.com to learn more and take advantage of fee-free crypto wagering before August 31st, exclusively at the Circa Sportsbook at Circa Resort and Casino. BurraPay transaction fees waived as part of the campaign. Standard cryptocurrency network and exchange fees may apply. What a great thing that Derek Stevens, Mike Palm, Jeff Benson, the entire crew there, just again, continuing to innovate, give people multiple ways to be able to fund those sportsbook transactions. So again, BurraPay.com to learn more. We have been really inundated with some outstanding feedback after starting. The ability for you, the viewer, and the listener to get at us, not only on social media, but now you can email the show, buythebooks@vsin.com. Some outstanding submissions. One of the latest ones we got from Chris McCarthy in Boston. He said, Dave Jensen, your show is outstanding. I'm an FTM Army member. And again, follow the money. He's been watching Mitch and Pauly since 2020. Thoroughly enjoyed when you would guest host Dave and Jensen. I always took note when you offered your baseball insights on FTM. Now you guys have the morning show and it is must watch TV. I'm a morning guy up at 5 a.m. daily. I watch you guys daily. And I tell you, Chris said, we appreciate the kind words so much. There have been so many great, great submissions from fans out there. So again, anything you guys are betting on, any questions you may have on monetization opportunities, ideas you want us to discuss, happy to do that for you. Again, email the show, buythebooks@vsin.com. Time for our best bets here on VSIN by the Books. A couple of baseball plays, Mark, I know you want to kind of discuss here. One that is going to be a big matchup starting tonight at Tropicana Field between the Yankees and the Rays, as well as a series finale between the Braves and the Mets later on tonight.
Yeah, let's start with the Rays down at the Trop. 31-12 at home so far this season. They now have a four-game lead in the American League East over the New York Yankees. Yankees have been really bad. Put the analytics out of it, right? Let's like the eyeball test, Jen. We've watched enough baseball, right? You watch baseball, you're like, one team's really good or good right now. One team is really bad. The Yankees are really bad. We played a cut from Aaron Boone earlier on in the show where he said, well, hopefully this series kind of gets us going, lights a fire. That's not exactly the message I want to hear from a major league manager at this point of the year. Yankees have been, I mean, at some point, personal pride comes into play. Even with Schlittler on the mound tonight, and he has been really good. His ERA after the last two starts has gone up to north of two. But, you know, he's been right there as far as being the leading contender to win the American League Cy Young. But the problem is he could pitch really well tonight and the Yankees could still lose. Why? Because they can't score runs. And also, oh, by the way, they're terrible defensively. That's the other issue when you look at the Yankees, too. So when you don't score and you're terrible defensively, I don't care how good your starting pitcher is, you could still find a way to lose. I'm going to be on Tampa tonight. Jensen, you brought up the fact that at home this year, the Rays have not lost to an American League East team. I think that continues tonight. Give me the team that's playing better baseball at this stage of the year. I'm going to take the Tampa Bay Rays over the New York Yankees. Going to go to the other New York team that's playing down in Atlanta, wrapping up their series against the Braves. It's going to be Freddy Peralta on the mound tonight for the New York Mets. And I don't necessarily think it's going to equate to a win. Peralta has not been particularly good. His ERA is north of four, has not been the pitcher he was a year ago or even a couple years ago for the Milwaukee Brewers. Mets with a kind of a strange victory yesterday afternoon against the Atlanta Braves. I think the Braves get going offensively, even though there's a, you would make the argument, more talented starter Lopez on the mound tonight for the Atlanta Braves as he opens this one up. I'm going to take the Braves to wrap up this series and take three of four from the New York Mets, even with Peralta on the mound as a home favorite at minus 122.
Will Hill joined the program as he always does on Mondays. A couple of plays on the diamond for him. Does like Junior Caminero for a walk tonight at almost a 2-1. I believe he got his at plus $1.91. Again, it goes without saying, you know, one of the hottest hitters in baseball, 11 homers in his last 12 games. Why would you pitch to him at all. So I do like the handicap from Will Hill right there. A couple of other plays, too. We do have a matinee affair, series finale between the Phillies and the Royals. That pitching matchup, Christopher Sanchez and Noah Cameron. The reason they finished today is they had a weird off day because of the World Cup match at Arrowhead there over the weekend. So Philly will finish up. That series is tied at a game apiece, so the series finale and the rubber match, 2:10 Eastern time. I would look at where Will Hill's handicap, the first five under 4.5, and I can understand why he's getting there. Of course, Christopher Sanchez has been one of the great starting pitchers here in the first half of the season. If I'm looking at just a side or total, and again, I want nothing to do having to lay the 220 money line upwards at least of that. It's $1.85 at Circa. That, I don't know if I can get any farther than that. I would play an alternate run line, though, for Philadelphia, and if you want to get aggressive, I wouldn't mind laying the run and a half either. So going to wait to see what lineups are moves for getaway day, see if there's any changes on Kansas City's side that they're going to try and upend one of the great left-handed starting pitchers in Major League Baseball. Mention it before if people are just joining us. The Astros have caught fire here as of late. They're in our nation's capital, taking on the Washington Nationals. If you'd like to just bet totals blindly, the over has been incredibly profitable for the Washington Nationals as a home team. 30-13-2 to the over. I'm not necessarily going there, Moose. I'm more so looking at the Astros on the money line. If you can find them at a nice plus money price, I would absolutely be looking at that. And if you want to get super greedy, I would even take a run line for the Astros at a much bigger plus money price. I think they're going to get after Miles Michaelis, who will get the ball here for the Nationals. Mike Burrows is going for the Astros. Very much liking where the Astro offense is personally. And hey, when you got Yordan Alvarez swinging the bat the way he is as of late in the entirety of the first half of this season, I think we get a lot of loud noises there. 6:45 p.m. Eastern, first pitch between the Astros and the Nationals. Of course, this is all a preamble to the big one later on tonight on the pitch. Team USA against Belgium. Moose, for people that are just joining us, you and I think, also align with Will Hill on looking at the 90-minute draw. Still convinced that that's where you would want to go as a primary lean for tonight's matchup?
Yeah, I think the price is too good. I mean, I really do. When you're looking at, I think we hit upon it before, it was plus 240. When you're looking at a draw between Belgium and the United States. And I just think, you know, in terms of a really dangerous Belgium team, we'll see exactly how their appeal of the suspension or the rescinding of the suspension and the red card goes as this afternoon goes along. But I think the United States has got to play a little bit more of a defensive-minded game. I think huge pressures on Matt Turner, the goalkeeper for the United States, later on tonight against Belgium. I don't think there's any doubt about it, but I could see a relatively low-scoring affair to where this game gets to extra time and to where we have a draw after 90 minutes. I think we're going to get kind of that kind of a steal line from Al McGuire, a little bit of a white knuckler later on tonight, where you are gripping and you are stressing and you are sweating late trying to get the United States into the quarterfinals. But I think it's going to be a tremendous matchup. It's going to be an unbelievable scene up there in Seattle. Hopefully it's a true home pitch advantage for the United States team. I do think they advance, but I think after 90 minutes, I think we're looking at a draw.
United States minus $1.30, still not really any movement in the qualifying market. So to advance or to qualify for the quarterfinals, the United States minus $1.30, Belgium plus $1.05. The game before, the match before, we will have a watchful eye on, because the winner of the U.S. and Belgium will take on the winner of Portugal and Spain. La Roja, almost a 220 favorite to qualify and move on to the quarterfinal. They have been an absolute wall of defensive destruction against their opponents. Portugal with Cristiano Ronaldo, he came out over the weekend and said this will be his final World Cup. You got to believe that the Iberian Derby, as these two are neighbors there over in Europe, will have a little bit more on the line here, knowing what the stakes are for Ronaldo and company. But it will be Lamine Yamal, I think, in Spain that I'm with you wanting to back on the 90-minute money line. I think you can still find Spain right around $1.10 at DraftKings to not only win it in 90 minutes. I think they will have the defensive prowess continue. I wouldn't mind, though, thinking that this could be a much higher press and possession game for Spain. Lamine Yamal has yet to really put himself into a position to score rather easily. I think finally he breaks out here this afternoon. Again, that is a 3 o'clock kickoff between Portugal and Spain. So my angles for those, and I'll probably get to the window on them, probably going to play Spain, as I know you like that too, Moose, in the 90 minute plus stoppage time market. And then I do think there's some great value on the over 2.5 goals. Again, I would want the extra benefit of the extra time. So again, shop around at your sports books to see how they will grade those specific wagers. It's been an A-plus grade for our soccer experts and guests that have joined the show. The best and brightest, Alex Crook, joins us to talk all things Team USA and more next on VSiN by the Books.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
Countdown to kickoff tonight. Team USA and Belgium will lock horns in the Pacific Northwest. And my goodness gracious, what a knockout round it has been to this point. The man who has been joining us all throughout the tournament, does a fabulous job as a TalkSport chief football correspondent, is Alex Crook, joining us here on the Progressive Guest Line. Give him a follow on X at Alex_Crook. Alex, a wild 24 to 36 hours for us American fans of the U.S. men's national team. We find out that Flo Balogun ends up having his red card suspended, if you will, for a year. And then we learn this morning that as of 8 a.m. Eastern, the Belgium Federation have filed an appeal with FIFA. We believe that's currently being heard. Your assessment of all the drama that has been the whiplash so far of the tournament and what this means for the match tonight?
Well, I think I've got to choose my words carefully here, but I think it's a shameful decision from FIFA to overturn this red card. Never before in World Cup history have we had it, so it's unprecedented. There isn't an appeals process against red cards like we have in the Premier League when it comes to a World Cup. Did I think it was a red card? Probably not, but having it been given, as I say, there is no precedent for it being overturned. Belgium have reacted angrily. They've released a statement this morning confirming their appeal. I think that appeal has probably gone in too late. But the harsh reality for me, and probably a lot of your viewers won't agree because obviously they've got US bias, Balogun should not be playing in this game. And I do wonder if it might work against the US, because I was quite strong on the US to beat Belgium. I don't think Belgium are particularly a good team at this tournament, but it might just galvanize them, that injustice. So it could well backfire.
Alex, how do you think the match looks later on tonight? If the United States are victorious, or if it ends up being Belgium victorious, how do you think it plays out?
Well, I think it's going to be a very dirty victory if the USA do win. You know, the fact their star striker was suspended and then he wasn't, and obviously Belgium have had an appeal, which ultimately I think will be fruitless. I think it could be quite a hostile game now. I think the Belgians, as I say, will be fired up by what's been going on off the pitch, and it might just raise them to a new level. They were lucky to survive Senegal. They should have lost that game. Dramatic turn of events, a mistake from the Senegal goalkeeper, and all of a sudden they're still in the tournament. Having said all that, if Balogun plays, I will be having a few quid on him to score, because I think that's just written in the stars.
Oh, no, I agree. And I wanted to kind of pick your brain. Is it as simple as Balogun and Pulisic for the American side? And then are we just kind of identifying De Bruyne and Lukaku? Anybody else that you would want to look at maybe in that goal scoring market?
Well, I think Jeremy Doku is still to come alive in this tournament. He had a really good end to the season with Manchester City. I think he's got pace that can hurt this US defense. We've not really been tested yet defensively. So undoubtedly, this is going to be their biggest challenge to date. They've passed every other test with flying colours, walking around New York. The fans here are getting excited. I'm sure that the bars and the watch parties are going to be packed to the rafters. For the tournament, I think it would be good if the US progressed. But as I say, it would leave a bitter taste, I think, if Balogun plays and plays a part in victory.
Alex, over to England last night down in Mexico City. I'm all over the three lines in this tournament. I know you do as well. So I was rooting hard to the final 35 minutes to hold on for dear life. What did we learn from the English last night to come walk away and walk out of Stadio Azteca with that 3-2 victory?
I don't think it's too far a reach for me to say that in my lifetime, that is England's greatest ever performance. It's up there with beating the Dutch 4-1 on home soil at Euro 96, scoring 5 against the Germans in Munich, just because of the circumstances, the altitude, that passionate home crowd, the rain delay, which obviously disrupted momentum, the farcical situation 24 hours previously when FIFA were trying to move the kickoff time before ultimately bowing to pressure from the two federations not to do so, losing a player for so long, and that backs-to-the-wall mentality, that over our dead body approach, it was a sight to behold. And I think in Jude Bellingham, we've got a generational talent there. This is a player I think you have to start talking about in the same terms as the likes of Paul Gascoigne and Sir Bobby Charlton, particularly if he continues to driving it on in this tournament. I was worried about the Mexican game. I was very apprehensive. I'm not so worried about facing Norway in Miami. I feel like Norway have had their moment, you know, brilliant victory for them against Brazil, not unforeseen. I think I predicted it when I was last on with you that they would take out the Brazilians. But it feels like that was their moment. And I just wonder emotionally if they'll be able to go again in Miami. So I really fancy England to get into a semi-final. Probably Argentina lie in wait. If they play like that against Argentina, we could be back in the final.
Alex Crook, Talk Sport chief football correspondent, joining us here on VSiN by the Books. I wholeheartedly agree. And watching the scoring within, 2 minutes in Bellingham, it went from insanity to a pin drop and then getting the one back. In my heart of hearts, Alex, I was on the under 2.5. I thought this would be a little more defensive minded. And then when I saw the elements start to look like it could open things up, I was like, oh my God. And what theater, having to play a man down to find their way through. I'm with you. I think it has emboldened the three Lions. I think now they have passed as swift a test as they have needed. And now they get to come stateside where there aren't going to be people camped out of their hotel. At least you would think shooting off fireworks and anything like that. For what it's worth, England 205 on the money line there, at least minus 205 to qualify. Norway plus $1.65. Let me get your thoughts today on the Iberian Derby. Portugal and Spain are what they are, and Spain have been just been ridiculous defensively. Does it continue, or do they send the high press and try and just take Portugal out in the first half and leave no doubt?
I think this will be a Spanish victory, and I think it might be quite a comfortable Spanish victory. I think unlike Argentina, Portugal have still got a problem when it comes to playing to the strengths of Ronaldo. I think often he's a hindrance as opposed to a help. I didn't like his reaction when he was substituted in their last game. I think he's made it too much about him and not about the team. Spain defensively have been solid. They've got players going forward who can hurt this Portuguese team. So not only do I think the Spanish will win, I think it might end up being fairly comfortably. I could see a 2-0 victory.
Want to look ahead to tomorrow's matchups. The second game, Switzerland, which has been impressive, and obviously you look at the beautiful play of Colombia coming off their victory. I think it was Friday night out in Kansas City. What's your take in terms of the Swiss and Colombia tomorrow afternoon?
Well, they're a tough nut to crack, Switzerland. They're not particularly pleasing on the eye. They're not great to watch, but they're stubborn. They're resolute. They don't give away too many goals. Colombia, on the other hand, I think some of their football at this tournament has been absolutely breathtaking. And it could be Argentina against Colombia later in the tournament, which I think would be a fantastic matchup. So this one might go the distance. It wouldn't surprise me if the teams are tied after 90 minutes and we're talking about extra time and maybe penalties. But ultimately, I am backing Colombia to prevail. I think they're the better team.
Speaking of comfortable victories, do we feel the same here with Argentina against Mo Salah and Egypt? I know the numbers are decidedly to the Argentinian side. Is it as simple a handicap as that, Alex? Or do we have, you know, kind of that scare aside now that Argentina have moved forward after an incredible round of 32 game? Is it pretty cut and dry in your eyes with this matchup?
Yeah, that was another of my favorite matches of the tournament, watching that in a sports bar here in New York with everybody singing the name of the Cape Verde goalkeeper and Argentina just about prevailing. Having watched that performance, I'd be a little bit worried about weighing in too heavily on Argentina at short odds, mm-hmm. because it wasn't a great performance. And Egypt have ticked over nicely, and in Mo Salah, they've got a genuine superstar. So I think it might be closer than the odds suggest. I would still expect Argentina to go through. If I was looking at a bet on this game, what about both Lionel Messi and Mo Salah to get on the score sheet?
Alex, last one for me. What would it mean for England to win the World Cup?
Do you know what? I had this conversation in the early hours of this morning after getting back to my apartment with a colleague. What do we do as a nation if England win the World Cup? Because we've waited 60 years to get into that position. And it would feel like we completed football. What is there to achieve after winning the World Cup? I mean, I'm getting far too ahead of myself, because I still think France are going to take all the beating, even if we do manage to get to the final in New York. But that phrase you used, emboldened, I think Thomas Tuchel will be emboldened because his in-game changes work to perfection. I think he is an elite manager who comes to the fore in big matches. He proved that when he oversaw Chelsea's victory over Manchester City against the odds in that Champions League final. I mean, it would just be an incredible moment for the country. And the country has been divided for the last couple of years. Morale's not been fantastic. I think England's run in this tournament is giving everybody back home a lift, and long may it continue.
Ironic that you're in New York, Alex, because if you watched how the Knicks celebrated, I can only imagine that's how an entire nation would celebrate should you guys be able to pull it off. And yes, right there in New York. Always great to catch up with you. Enjoy the rest of today.
Thanks, Alex.
Look forward to catching up with you later on in the knockout round. That is Alex Crook, TalkSport chief football correspondent, as always here on VSiN by the Books. That's going to do it for the Monday edition. We're back to do it better tomorrow. A numbers game with Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin up next. Greg Peterson will have his best plays for Major League Baseball, and Wes Reynolds, an early look at the Scottish Open. Keep it locked right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.